And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear. They'll talk about it. You'll bring it on like Donkey Kong. Okay. Here on Freedom's Phoenix, it's Trump Report Thursday with Dr. Frank Tamburi, and he started reading the 7-page memo. Oh, my God. But there's a lot of good stuff in there, and he's kind of trying to speed it up and skip over. No skipping. Damn it. It's got to be the whole thing or don't. So when you started to skip, start off there. Let's get it all into the record, man. Go.
So, all right. So, just guys, know. So, just for the next hour, it looks like we're gonna be finishing this letter for the Trump Report, which really exposes quite a bit. We're doing the last hour for those of you that are just joining us now. It's a letter from the Senate, the Senate committee to other senators. It was an inside memo no one was supposed to have read, talking about what happens if Donald Trump wins.
This is
the nomination.
Senate Republican re-election guy of incumbents. You get re-elected because you need to get re-elected.
But the point we're reading this, which is, as I said before, the cardinal sin you never want to read on the radio, but we're making an exception here because there's some talking points from us on this. One is it shows, first of all, how Republicans really communicate and think. How condescending do they really feel about their voters? Which, for this audience, trust me, it's no surprise. But it also shows, the machinations or the lack of being in touch truly with the people. And also truly shows the division of the establishment. And Ernie and I have argued on the air a number of times. I think he's coming around, guys, a little bit to the point that there is an establishment, that there is a fight. And I'm seeing this break down on Fox News. That's why I bring up Fox, not because I'm a Fox junkie.
It's just competing wings of the establishment.
But the
left wing,
the
right wing of the bird of prey. That's what it is.
The establishment has basically sequestered away this so-called revolution Tea Party movement that Ron Paul helped basically start. And it's been squashed by the establishment, by people like John Boehner, and people didn't understand what was happening. And Fox News never explained it. Now they are. Now the establishment wing is being described and put down. Now, of course, John Boehner got kicked out. Donald Trump is making his moves. This is a true revolution and movement that's an extension of the Ron Paul movement through the Tea Party, now taking out the establishment. And this letter is basically describing the establishment's view of it. And the kicker is you still see how they're still lost. They still don't quite get it. They're talking to their own establishment senators saying, all right, guys, this is what's going on with this Trump thing. I know we don't quite understand it, but this is what's happening. You know what this is? This is just what happened with the Ron Paul deal. Because the Republicans are all trying to explain to other Republicans who this Ron Paul guy is. You know, they thought they understood why people liked Ron Paul. They assumed that they understood it. And they didn't. And that's why Ron Paul kept coming back. When I spoke at the Republican committee here in Arizona, and you guys helped me with that. It was years ago before I hung up on the show here. You know, I spoke to like hundreds of Republicans and I said, in between the campaigns, I said, you guys, I don't care for Ron Paul. Maybe, you know, the voters don't care for you. But you guys need to understand, as the diehard Republican, you know, precinct committeemen and all, you need to understand who this guy is. You may not agree with him, but you need to understand who he is and why people follow him. Because if you don't understand him, you're not going to understand when he comes back. Because if you think he's done, that was a one-shot deal, he's coming back in 2012. And they didn't believe it because they didn't understand the anger that was brewing. That's what this letter is. People, they don't understand why Trump is doing.
They're all about being on the winning side.
Winning side. That's all and they've turned about. Their brain off about why people are. So anyway, that's what's unique about it. So I'll continue reading, but it's very revealing and
shows their fear. He could have been done this segment, so maybe we'll go into the next one.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, it was worth it.
The whole thing, man. Got to do it.
All right, here we go. Special note. Let's see. Talking about consider visuals that communicate change and reform. Feature candidates working on old engine. Okay, we talked about that. All right. Post a reform tab on your website and feature stories of real world reforms that can change Washington.
What the hell they been doing?
Be sure to feature reform
contract on America.
Oh,
again.
By the way, be sure to feature reformers like Ernie Hancock in your videos on your YouTube channel and in social media. You know, they have to teach them what social media is. Promote tweets that push reforms or condemn Washington's dysfunction. The time to build the case against Washington, parentheses, even if you were part of it. Oh, listen to that. The time to build the case against Washington, even if you were part of it, is now. Not in the final 3 months of the election. They're even admitting that they're the problem.
Keep going.
Finally, call on citizens to post their own reform recommendations and then select the best of the lot.
Best of the lot to what? Make a bill?
This quote, bottom-up method, unquote, allows you to say that the reforms are from regular citizens.
God, who are these people?
Post the, you know, you guys should just hire me. You know, I'll give you, you guys are missing the boat here. Post the best ideas, promote discussions on your social platforms, and discuss them on your YouTube channel, talk radio, podcasts, and TV appearances. Special note, always bring the campaign back home to real people and their daily struggle. The Trump Show. They call it the Trump Show. The Trump Show may be going on, but back home, our families are in a fight for their livelihoods. Keep your narrative on them, not the national scene. Tell stories of citizens overcoming obstacles and succeeding. Yeah, like Donald Trump is, actually. Sell optimism. Promote hope. Story-based messaging allows you to plow new ground and own the field. Number 7, where the heck I'm up to. Trump can hit the right chord. We may not like it, but Trump is connected with voters on issues.
Yeah.
I can't handle this.
Billionaires are my best friends.
Listen, they're saying we may not like it, but God forbid, you know, a Republican can communicate and connect with voters on issues. And he's a billionaire, and he's connecting more than they are. Right?
Supermodel wives.
So,
blah, 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 Trump.
Yeah, exactly. He's connecting more than our elected officials.
Connecting.
We may not like it, but Trump is connected with voters on issues like trade with China and America's broken borders. When Trump was criticized on building a wall to stop immigration, he noted how Israel successfully built walls that were cost-effective and did the job. Trump will continue to advance those messages, but you don't have to go along with his more extreme positioning. Instead, you should stake out turf in the same issue zone and offer your own ideas.
That's kinder, gentler Rubio, whatever.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, take lessons from Rubio. Target China on industrial espionage. That's what they're saying. They're saying right here. Forget about the petrodollar and about how the Federal Reserve works and how they're buying up gold. No, target China on industrial espionage.
Yeah, as the IMF brings in the yuan into the reserve currency.
Exactly. China's the enemy.
These guys don't understand the fundamental role
don't.
Of government.
They're
digging their own hole they're not going to be able to get out of.
This shows, though, that deep inside, they honestly still don't even understand the point.
Not a freaking clue.
Hit China. Here we go. Hit China on its cyber war against the U.S. government. Focus on China breaking existing trade rules and using Chinese government intervention to create an unfair advantage. Here's a bunch of Republicans talking about unfair.
American lives matter. Hashtag.
On immigration, select areas where reform can be done and should be done. One example is better tracking of those who violate their tourist visa. Governor Christie, I'm sure they're plugging here, Governor Christie recently noted that 40% of those in our country illegally overstayed their visas. This is a highly correctable matter and a reform that should be promoted. And he's part establishment. Select some common sense and doable reforms. One last. Trump and women. Houston, we have a problem. Donald Trump has said some wacky things about women. Candidates shouldn't go near this ground other than to say that your wife or daughter is offended by what Trump said.
Oh! Oh, the women love it.
We do not,
man.
We do not want to re-engage the war on women. Fight so isolate Trump on this issue by offering a quick condemnation of it.
More, we come back.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've
it's
no
frightful
place
at
to go,
70 degrees.
Let it sunshine.
I feel guilty.
I know. We're like, they were going to go. My daughter and son-in-law, his brother was visiting from Houston, and they were going to go up to Flagstaff play in the snow Monday. And then they found out all melted. There's no snow. They went, well, that kind of sucked, you know. So they took all the winter clothes and the thermals and whatever for all the little kids back. They just couldn't use it because they knew they'd outgrow them in a week anyway. Mm-hmm. So they just took them back. They didn't wear them. So I'm going, oh, that kind of sucked. So it's Arizona. Get over it. No. All right. Now, we got some RAND stuff to go over, and we'll go till we're done. But I need you to go ahead and finish and get into the record, the letter.
Here. Right, yeah. By the way, we finished that last part was Trump and women. They said, Houston, we have a problem. There's so much to comment on all this, but the last part of that one section, though, it says, we do not want to re-engage the war on women fight, so isolate Trump on this issue by offering a quick condemnation of it. You know, what's interesting about that is, what's frustrating is that by them writing this, and now, of course, the media has it, it is showing that the Republicans they're claiming to admit that there has been a war on women. There really hasn't. It's the Democrats have trumped this thing up to make it seem like, you know, they're all anti-woman. But I know.
Vote for Hillary because there's Trump. Of course, and all the women, you know, real women, I need a man.
And there's
the thing is, there's
Carly Fiorina, but of course she doesn't count as a woman. It's always a disclaimer, you know. Ben Carson, well, he's not really black. And Carly Fiorina, well, she's not really a woman. And Bobby Jindal, well, he's not really Indian. And you know, like every person, oh, well, you know, you've got Cruz and Rubio. They're both Cuban. You know, they're Hispanic. Well, they're not really Hispanic. I mean, as I've said on the show before, there's more diversity on the Republican side than there is on the liberals. You know, they still want to say that, you know, there's a sexist, racist component. Anyway, next, Trump. Here we go. Here's the Republicans claiming they understand why Trump is rising and a problem. Trump rises because people understand him. Trump is saying that the emperor has no clothes, and he challenges our politically correct times.
He challenges them to find government's penis. Look, it doesn't have one.
I mean there is. They're saying right here that he challenges our politically correct times. Man. I mean, they're saying, okay, he challenges our politically correct times, like the one above about Trump and women, right? I mean, he's challenging that. So they're basically contradicting their own point about what
this
Trump is.
I gotta mention here, what I'm thinking of is that, you know, the emperor has no clothes thing. Mm. Who is this appealing to? I mean, the people, they know. They're just, it's just a bunch of eunuchs running around, you know, waving their hands, ouch-quitted all the time, being victims. Somebody wants somebody to not be a victim. Trump comes out as not being a victim. America won't be a victim anymore. At least we won't be a victim. We'll be buttheads and stupid and doing whatever, and I may not agree. I don't care.
Right.
But the thing is that at least we won't be a victim.
It's self-empowerment, and that's sort of what he's trying to bring back to people. So, like I said, Trump is saying the emperor has no clothes and challenges politically correct times. Our candidates shouldn't miss the this point. Don't insult key voter cohorts by ignoring that America has significant problems and that Trump is offering some basic solutions. Understand the populist points Trump makes and ride that wave, baby. That's what it says.
God, they don't. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Yeah. Nobody even. Not even Rand. We'll get into Rand in a little bit.
And baby, I added, but that's pretty much why how you're reading this. Next. The last 2 points are, we can't afford to depress the GOP vote. Spending full time attacking our own nominee will ensure that the GOP vote is depressed. That will only serve to topple GOP candidates at every level.
Like they care.
Maintain the right amount of independence, but avoid piling on the nominee. And then lastly, this is the most telling of all of them. After all this, you know, Houston, we have a problem, and Trump, I mean, hopefully he's not going to win, all this kind of crap. Well, then we get to the last one, covering the Trump bet. Conventional wisdom has counted Trump out on several occasions. Not me, by the way.
Who's conventional wisdom?
I've said this publicly from day one.
I wonder who this conventional wisdom guy is.
Everyone told me I was wrong. They still don't get it. Conventional wisdom has counted Trump out on several occasions. But Trump continues to rise, and the criticisms seem to make him stronger.
Damn, Skippy. So counterpunch.
I'm telling you, that Rocky theme works. Trump has been gaining Democrat adherence. Like I said again, Trump has been gaining Democrat adherence, and he's solidifying GOP cohorts who feel they've been totally ignored by the Washington ruling class. And that, by the way, was in capitals, Washington ruling class. If the environment aligns properly, Trump could win. This is amazing hearing them actually say this. It's not a bet most people would place now, but it could happen. That's why it's important for our candidates to run their own races, limit the Trump criticisms, in parentheses, other than obvious free kicks.
Define a free kick. They think they had a lot of free kicks, and it backfired.
And grab onto the best elements of the anti-Washington populist agenda. Last thing says,
take your tie off and go in somebody's living room and go how to
shovel
mill
some manure or something. And at the very end, the Dakota here, this memo is written under the assumption that Donald Trump wins the nomination. We don't have a crystal ball, but in 1940, few were predicting that an Indiana businessman with New York connections would win the Republican nomination for president of the United States. Done.
God. What does that tell you about the now keep in mind, where is this coming from? Ward Baker or whatever. He is the head, I think he is a senator or congressman or something. He is head of the committee. I didn't even know these positions existed. I mean, I always assumed they did, but I didn't know they came out of the Senate. It's the party structure, the national committee kind of thing, and it's of the incumbents to keep incumbents there. They make all kinds of deals of who gets support and doesn't. You got to play ball with the big machine or there, or you get out and you're not in the club anymore. This is how this works. You get in with the club or you get beat with the club. And you watch House of Cards with Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, and you get how this, you know, now this really works. You can see, well, obviously, make it a movie or a TV show. Well, obviously, that's what they do. That's how they do it, and that's how they're doing it. And they have this guy, Ward, comes in, and he says, all right, we need to get reelected. How are we going to get reelected? What's going on? Where's the electorate out there? We're at the end of 15. We're getting into where we're just, you know, 11 months away. It's in less than a year. Here comes the election. What you be doing now? And as they're talking about, oh, we're gonna reform, and we need. I go, what the hell? You don't vote now? I mean, what the hell are you doing? Why are you there? I mean, all right. Now I'm gonna tell you what's going on here with Rand. Now, Mark Victor, good friend. He's just, you know, he's in, man. We got, ooh, he's we're gonna. I'm, you know, getting invitations to his Christmas party or whatever.
Great guy.
Now, they, no, I mean, he's like, you know, yeah, Mark and I are good friends, and we've been doing this a long time, but and he's getting a little Rand Kool-Aid, okay? And it's a, and any kind of, you know, hedges a little bit on his endorsement stuff. Well, you know, he's the best that we, now, where were all these guys when Ron was around? In 08-12, you know, you and I were going, look, guys, man, you know, this is it. Now they're all, you know,
they weren't supporting Ron as much.
No,
really, I didn't know that.
No, they were like, you know, it's just, I'm going, you guys don't get it, man.
Now they do, right?
Well, they were supportive of the philosophy, and they thought it was kind of cool, and it's kind of, yeah, but it's voting, and but now it's kind of a different flavor. Well, there's an article about the difference between Rand and Ron, and then he's coming a week from this coming Monday here. We'll talk about it.
This is your Roberts & Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading on Thursday, gold is up $5 at $1,059 per ounce. Silver is 8 cents higher at $14.16 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $361. We still have plenty of 2015 U.S. Mint silver and gold Eagle coins available at these low prices. Give Roberts & Roberts a call today at 800-874-9760 or shop online at rrbi.co.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. We're sitting here yakking, contemplating the salvation of the universe. Okay, this is what's going on with the Rand thing. A lot of the guys that I know that I went through this in 08, I go to these meetings and groups, you know, it's the, you know, the boys. And heavily involved in politics, spend a bunch of money, and I'm the, you know, the poor guy there that, you know, just, like does stuff, the activist. So as time goes on, after 20 years or so, it's like, hey, Ernie, you know, get Freedom in the show and kind of come over and talk and do and take our position, and we get a nice big giant feather in our cap, we get you on board of the whatever. And I'm like, where the hell were you guys during the Levolution? I'm like, what? What? I remember. And one thing that I really, really, really like is I have shows, every single word out of my mouth, all the graphics, the videos, the talk, the interviews, everything from those times. I get, you know, what people, and when they don't record, I go, oh, everybody, you know, wait, listen, remember what so-and-so just said, okay? I just remember, you guys remember? Y'all on board? Y'all going down? You taking notes? I mean, are you getting it? Then it starts becoming more political, and I can see what's happening. They were one of the bundlers, you know, as a guy, you know, they raise a bunch of money for Rand and so on. And they, you know, create and have these different events, and they, you know, get the, you know, people to show up and give their $500,000, whatever, you know, it's a big play to something. And I'm not interested. You get the secret plan of, I don't give a crap. The secret plan doesn't involve him saying, you know, this stuff his father did from the podium. What the hell I want him up there for? Oh, well, it's a politicking of whatever. I so don't freaking care. They do not understand what's going on. Over, it's like the same guys with the Trump thing. They don't well, it's inside of the machine. We got to do the machine. Oh, you got to do the machine. I don't give a crap. So here we have, you know, I just read to you the, there's an article, and it's called The Difference Between Rand Paul and Ron Paul. And it's all these guys, you know, they're the Rand's older brother, Rand and Ron are the same. Judge Napolitano, they're the same. Gary Johnson, you know, is glad he's there. And then it gets to this paragraph. The real difference between Rand Paul and Ron Paul is their political strategy. Ron Paul is ideologically libertarian and politically idealistic. Rand Paul is ideologically libertarian as well, but he's politically realistic. One, what the hell does that mean? It's playing politics. You know, I'm not into playing politics. I don't, you know, that fine. You think that's going to, you know, knock yourself out. Don't care. Because why? Because I'm not playing politics. This is an ideological battle. It is education. It's how many minds can you free? It doesn't matter if you're politically realistic if the people don't know what the hell you're there for. So I'm going, hey, even if you win, you don't win. You don't get support. You'll never get anything done. The people have to demand this. This is a time. You know, the time is, I'd say, Trump is doing it. You know, he's got people going, but it's not a freedom liberty thing. It's just a, you know, jingoistic, you know, rhetoric of freaking, I'm not them. Rand is playing politically realistic to seem as if he's them. How's that working out? Yeah. You know, I mean, seriously, I'm just going, it's so obvious what's going on. And they just, oh man, he just pissed me off. So here Mark is inviting people to go to this event. Now I said, look, I never gave a dime to Ron Paul. You want my endorsement? My endorsement out there whipping ass. That's what I do. You think your little $500 go meet you? I don't give a crap. I get to be in the special and get a phone call if I do $500,000 or something. Hell, I spent that much, you know, three times that much just getting ready for the freaking doing the sign campaign. It's like, you want to go, whoo! So when he comes on the Monday, December 14th, we just might have a place to put some signs up and some cards out and everything. Feel me?
That's your contribution.
Yeah, that's my contribution. God, they just don't freaking get it. So, hi all, this is from Mark. I've been informed that Rand Paul is willing to personally call and invite you to the fundraising event I'm co-hosting in Phoenix on December 14th. I have attached the invitation. If you have not yet received it, if you are serious about coming to the event on the 14th and donating to Rand's campaign, let me know and I will attempt to arrange a private call for you with Rand. The only thing I want to hear from Rand is, yep, the secret is I'm going to start saying it from the podium. I don't care.
Wait, additionally, do we don't have the secret yet?
I don't care.
We still have the secret.
I don't care. Additionally, here is a link to an interesting article about Rand and Ron discussing their libertarian views. Rand is currently the best play we have, whatever that means, at the moment to advance the cause of liberty. He is trying to change hearts and minds for freedom. That is what needs to happen. Well, you don't do it from keeping the secret plan of I'm not saying it. You know, we're going to be politically expedient, politically, you know, ideological, political, something political. Don't care. Don't freaking care. So I'm doing something else. It's going to be an education thing. We'll be pushing. I will spend as much time as I did on the revolution doing more about, you know, promoting Ron Paul's curriculum than I will any freaking politician. It boggles the freaking mind. And they had this on a silver platter, and they just whizzed it away. And they're thinking that, well, we're going to be the popular last man standing against what? Trump? You know, and you're going to beat him with what? Principle? Freedom's the answer? What's the question? They didn't get it. They go, you know, his father is ideological, where Rand is practical. They're the same. He's different, you know? And I'm so that's my opinion. What do you got on Rand?
Well, I was just enjoying that, you know.
It so pisses me off,
man. I know.
Ernie, you don't understand.
I agree.
Come over here. You can be in the club. You know this club that you ignored and beat us over the head with, of the club that, you know, not the establishment, you kind of making fun of, kind of down. We want to invite you in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you stupid? I just want to back. I mean, I go, the best thing I can do for you is shut up. Just ignore. Don't worry. I would do my own thing. Just leave me alone. Don't try. And from all points that wouldn't have anything to do with his father, all of a sudden they are all in with Rand now because they're doing it correctly. The political, the inside the machine, where everything else was totally outside the machine. And the only reason, it wasn't because Ron didn't try. His guys and Republicans, mm-hmm. they were doing the inside of that. The people just didn't freaking care. It bypassed the whole. They go, yeah, you're confusing us with somebody gives a crap. How many delegates? Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. go through the process and learn how screwed up it is, but whatever. We're putting up signs anyway. To the point, in Des Moines, Iowa, one of the activists, we took him to New Hampshire with us because they kicked him out of the meetup. They kicked him out of one of the best activists that they had because he wouldn't stop putting signs up. And the Republican Party freaked in Des Moines, Iowa.
A question for you. I'm curious. You know, the problem they have is they don't realize this fire of Prometheus that they have. And it wants to just burn. It wants to explode. It's like a genie in the
bottle.
They
don't want it to explode. And,
exactly.
It's a threat.
They keep putting the cork in the bottle. And with Ron Paul, they saw what was happening. And now they keep trying. It's almost, it reminds me of, remember it was the Warner Brothers, the Daffy Duck, and there was that genie or something, and the genie and Daffy Duck was jumping on the genie, stuffing him into the bottle. Down, down, down. He's like trying to push him back. That's what's going on. That genie was the Ron Paul movement. It was delegates. They didn't care about being delegates.
From the beginning,
people,
I could see what the problem
was. That, and they kept
if
pushing
they couldn't control it, they didn't want it to happen.
Right.
We do not want to have, you know, activism is like, you know, it's like fire. It's a powerful tool, but a fearful master. They don't want the fire out there uncontrolled.
Well, I'm curious. There's people, there's names out there we can mention, but I'm curious, the look, you and I obviously were supporters of the campaign of Ron Paul. And then after the first campaign,
I didn't give a crap about his campaign. What are you saying at the podium?
At the first one when he basically stopped and did not go to convention, it was crestfallen.
Right.
People got really ticked. He lost a lot of supporters and
a lot of investors. I had a 20-minute conversation with Ron the day before that happened. That Wednesday, he did it Thursday. Wednesday night, he was communicating with his, head guys, estates of whatever. And I, 20 minutes before, like half hour before he had that conversation, I got him on the phone. I just asked to call him and give my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm going, don't do this. I just want you to know, if you do this, you're not going to have the same support that you did in the future, and you kind of whatever.
Which is my point. So he lost a lot, including investors that you and I know, who said, you got burnt the first time, not doing it again. So then a lot of us, though, we said, all right, maybe we'll go for round two, which is the 2012. And then we got...
Which is a different crowd.
Right. Well, kind of. Well, I mean, I was in both, and a lot of people got crestfallen big time when Rand, jumped ship at the last minute after taking our money. Now, here's the Rand Paul. I'm curious, do you think it's the same people? I mean, obviously, Mark Victor wasn't there before, now he is. Do you find that they're all new supporters for Rand, or are they same Ron Paul people converted?
Nah, it's pretty new. Or a different politico GOP play the game, give me a position type.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back. We're going to play a clip. This rant, what are we listening to?
So this is basically a three and a half minute thing from NPR, and it's an NPR piece about why Rand Paul is not inheriting Ron Paul's crowds and his campaign. So it's kind of what we're discussing, but it's also fascinating to hear perspectives from other groups, in this case, the liberal perspective of why Rand is not working.
All right, so push the button. And
libertarians are playing a smaller role in the presidential campaign than last time around. During the 2012 Republican race, huge rallies supported a longtime libertarian favorite.
Congressman Ron Paul.
This year, Ron Paul's son Rand Paul is running, but it hasn't been easy to build on his father's support. NPR's Sarah McCammon explores why.
Compared to 4 years ago, the crowds chanting President Paul are much smaller now.
President Paul! President Paul!
At an event near Iowa State University last month, Senator Rand Paul was defending his foreign policy, which often breaks with more hawkish Republicans. Paul had to explain that being a libertarian doesn't have to mean being an isolationist.
Most isolationists sort of like want to build a wall around the country and not interact with the rest of the world. Trade is a big part of being part of the world, and I'm for trading with the rest of the world. I'm for diplomatic engagement.
In Des Moines, longtime Paul supporter, 27-year-old Adil Khan, says Paul's approach still makes sense. He blames U.S. military involvement in the Middle East for the rise of groups like ISIS.
You can take out bad, but after it, there could be something that's worse. Because if we didn't go into Iraq, we wouldn't have a lot of this mess we have today.
But that's not the dominant view in the Republican race right now, especially since the Paris attacks. Florida Senator Marco Rubio used the issue to take aim at two of his opponents during a recent forum hosted by the Wall Street Journal.
At least two of my colleagues in the Senate aspiring to the presidency, Senator Cruz in particular, have voted to weaken the U.S. intelligence programs.
Rubio didn't even name the other Republican hopeful who voted against domestic surveillance of phone records, Rand Paul. He's barely registering in the polls, even in Iowa, where his father made a strong third-place showing 4 years ago by harnessing the youthful energy of the Liberty Movement.
There you go.
Well, not that youthful. This is 7-month-old Judah Curtinitis. His parents, Kelsey and Joel Curtinitis, met through their work for Ron Paul's Iowa campaign.
We would not have met if it weren't for Ron Paul, and this little guy, Judah, here wouldn't be here.
So you might think they're all in for Rand Paul, but not so fast. Joel Curtinitis says he still believes in the small government ideals of the Liberty Movement, but he thinks Rand has tried too hard to appeal to mainstream Republicans.
I think Rand's missed a lot of opportunities because he's chosen in some ways to water down his message in order to go for that election appeal that he was convinced he needed to win.
Curtinitis says Rand Paul has been too cozy with establishment Republicans like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Paul also has fallen out of favor with some libertarians for supporting increases in military spending. Joel and Kelsey Curtinitis are now backing Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Cruz is surging, challenging political outsiders like Donald Trump and Ben Carson. GOP strategist Matt Strawn says they're harnessing a lot of the energy that was behind Ron Paul last time.
I called it in, 2012, as I would encounter some of these individuals around the state, that it was really the rage against the machine vote.
Strawn is a former Republican Party of Iowa chairman. He was forced out in 2012, and eventually supporters of Ron Paul gained control of the state party for a time.
They didn't want anything to do with the political class, the political establishment. They wanted to burn it down and figure out how to build it up later.
4 years later, there are even more Republican voters who want to burn the system down. And unfortunately for Rand Paul, there are lots of bigger personalities promising they'll do just that.
Yes.
Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
That's exactly
Washington.
What's going on. This is the one thing that happened. I remember it was April 18th, 19th, I think, 20th, whatever. It was, in April of 08, they had the meeting in Washington. They invited, me and some others, Michael Nystrom from Daily Paul and Trevor Longman. I was just sitting there. I probably haven't relayed this to you guys, because I always remembered this phrase. It came from Mike Duggar when it applied to the parties and all that kind of stuff. And it was such a perfect opportunity for me to make this statement. They go, "We can save the Republican Party." And I go, who the hell said that was my goal? I'm looking to put a wooden stake in its chest. I would kill the vampire, man. Who the hell wants to save this thing? Save what? So this is the mentality and the rhetoric. They go, we can save it. But, and one, you're assuming, I think there's a difference between that and any other political whatever the hell, who cares? So I'm they're missing it. There's going to be, and Trump tapped into it, and it could have so easily been Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he wouldn't have gotten the support of this committee, blah, 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 for his Kentucky Senate race. Because the Trump thing of the Kentucky Senate race and so on, that was mailed straight to just, Mr. Rand Paul also running for Kentucky. And I don't think there's a Democrat that's put up a candidate, for the Democratic nomination even for U.S. Senate in Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't know.
So they're doing this, and what they did is they changed the law to where it's done in convention, right. So it's not done in an election, so he can run for president also, because you can't be on the ballot for both, but you can be appointed by the party, blah, 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 LBJ crap. All I am just so, that because what's the goal? To be in the machine, to change the machine from inside the machine of we're going to save the machine.
But that was Ron Paul's idea as well, though.
Remember, not the Ron people Paul. That supported him.
No, yeah, it was. I mean, Ron Paul's the one.
Maybe not me.
No, he was the one. What's the whole campaign for liberty? That was Ron Paul saying, how do you become a precinct committeeman? That was the point. How do you think Ron Paul made as far as he did? It was the activism of people that were and did infiltrate the Republican Party, got delegates. That's where we keep having
this
argument.
On the podium.
Right.
That's what it was all about.
But if those people
did not... Why do I want to keep Rand on the podium if he's not going to say it?
Right, but at the same time, you can't get them on the podium unless you have activists that are part of the system.
All
and
right.
Ron Paul supported
well,
that.
Well, he doesn't have
Ron
either
Paul,
of them.
But Ron Paul...
Rand doesn't have either of them
But
now.
Ron Paul supported it as well. Don't think of it as that Ron Paul was against the machine and said not to be involved. He needed the involvement. He supported it, for God's
there
sake.
There was room for both. Because Ron goes like this. He says, you want to change, you got to get inside, you got to get. You remember these days. Mm-hmm. I didn't discourage anybody. You need to go see the sausage being
absolutely.
Made.
Absolutely. I agree.
You guys go, let me know how that works out. By the time it hit 2012, all these guys like John Lori, Matt Papke, and a lot of the new people that are all amped up and then, excited and doing inside the machine and campaign for liberty, and all that, they didn't come until 12. Okay. They were like 10. After the 08 thing that went, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was hip. It was great. It was happening. Usually the guys, the good guys over here, they're the good guy that came out being the good guy. They're good guys. We should have, hey, don't blame me. I voted Ron Paul kind of bumper sticker mentality. And I'm going, I blame you. Where were you? Were you in the street? Were you bitching? You whining? Are you doing now? Oh, it's going to be a more kinder, gentler, or more aggressive inside the system campaign. We're going to take this money and this effort and we're going to parlay it into 12. And then in the 16, and it got less each time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, they're like, well, where else are you going to go? What are you going to do? How about none? How about voluntarist? I'm just leave me alone.
And we're saying now, basically, leave me alone like you. Others are going to Ted Cruz, as you just heard. Others are going Donald Trump. You know, I mean, I may or may not myself. I mean, that's what's happened. That whole movement's been splintered into different components.
It's just a dissatisfaction without a focus.
Mm-hmm.
From the podium, you had a focus. We just march in, we march out. Proper role of government. I have a none page IRS thing. I want to replace it with nothing. I want, you know, end the Fed, you know, shit, just ignore them. I mean, you know, it's all this rhetoric that got ingrained, they abandoned. You know, and I'm going, what the hell do you think? They go, we would have won if we didn't have all this really hardcore rhetoric. And I'm going, you would have had
nothing.
Hundreds of millions of dollars less in money and effort had you not had that hard rhetoric. And you just a limit because you're playing freaking politics. I don't play politics.
You know, it's interesting to have next year or next month, 2016. Think about it. This whole Ron Paul movement began 2008, 16. I mean, it's like we're coming almost like an anniversary in a couple of years. It'll be 10 years. So 8 years since this whole thing started for many people. It's interesting to see the narrative. It's a shame that Ron Paul movie's not being made, you know, to see the narrative.
Yeah, that would have been. And it's not done yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not done yet. You know, we were started last January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the anniversary for this 8 years was last January. Remember, by this time, we're getting ready to go to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
We were in New Hampshire, Des Moines, and kind of all over in a freaking world record snowfall putting up signs. What are we doing now?
Yep.
Hey guys, we are at Culver's getting ready to get a really nutritious dinner here in Iowa, and they told me I'm supposed to read mean tweets, so I'm going to read some mean tweets. At Olivia Nunzi tweets, at Rand Paul, is dressed like Sporty Spock. And you know what my first thought was? That's really not that mean. I thought that was a compliment. Spock, he's a really cool dude. At Joe Bananen tweets, at Rand Paul, talk about hairstyle, Rand, that looks like a bucket of French grease on his head. Now that is mean, and I want to see your hair, Joe, if you've got any. At the Madison Show tweets, at Rand Paul's hair looks like ramen noodles. I guess that's an insult, and I'll just accept it. Donald Trump, who put Donald Trump in this thing? At Real Donald Trump tweets, watching Rand Paul for the entire day, I would say that'd be one of the lowest-ranked shows in history. Well, we'll just see, won't we, Donald? They also tell me, because I'm just doing what I'm told, riding around Iowa, looking at cornfields, and answering silly questions, that I'm now supposed to answer the top Googled questions about me. The first question is, how tall is Rand Paul? And it's 5'8", but I do look a lot taller on TV. The next question is, how old is Rand Paul? The answer is, or the real answer, I guess, is 52, but I sometimes feel about 10 to 20 to maybe 30 to 40 to 50 years older after a day of this. The third question, most popular question from Google is Rand Paul still running for president? And I don't know, I wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So yes, I still am running for president. Get over it. Where is Rand Paul in the polls? This is not live. We can't edit this, right? All right. Where is Rand Paul in the polls? It depends on which polls you look at. I'm still kicking Hillary Clinton's butt. If we look at my polls versus Hillary Clinton, I'm still beating her in 5 states won by President Obama. So watch out. All right. What does Rand Paul stand for and why he is the best candidate? Well, I think, first of all, because I have the best hair, and everybody must be jealous of it with all the insults. But I would say I make the best candidate because I incorporate the best of both the right and the left. And I think really a lot of the problems we've got are that the right and left, unfortunately, have come together to spend too much money, and that's why we have this big debt. I'm the only one, really, that would actually fix the problem. All right, is Rand Paul libertarian? I often say I'm libertarian-ish. And the only one who is perfectly libertarian is yourself. So we do have a lot of folks who think they are the keeper of the perfect libertarianism. What I would say is I'm pretty darn libertarian, probably the most libertarian in the race, or easily the most libertarian in the race. What party is Rand Paul? Republican, but pretty ecumenical in my, I guess, criticism of the faults of both parties. And where am I from? I was born in Pittsburgh, raised in Texas, and am proudly representing Kentucky, where I've spent my adult life and working career. One other question. Oh, am I a physician? Yes. I went to Duke Medical School, spent a year doing general surgery in Atlanta, went back and finished my medical training at Duke Medical School in ophthalmology, and often still am able to travel around the world doing pro bono eye surgery. Thanks for watching.